We'll look at, this morning we're going to look at Genesis 12. We're going to look at the first nine verses. We've kind of had a preliminary look. We looked at it briefly at verses 1 through 3. What we're going to see here is the obedience of Abram. How Abraham obeyed God, did what God called him to do. And then we're going to look at an application for us today as believers. How would this passage apply to us? And see how it fits. Because what God is doing is he's looking for people of faith in the scriptures. You see that all the way through there. And God still wants people of faith. He wants people to live in accordance to his direction and his guidance. And so we're going to look at what does it mean to be a man or woman of faith, and what's the significance of Abraham's obedience too. So let's pray, and then we'll look at this passage. Father, we come before your throne of grace and thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to gather together and to worship. We thank you for the blessings of this life that you've granted us. Pray, Lord, that as we look at this passage, you would direct us in our study and in our comprehension. And then, Lord, guide us in our application when we leave here today. Help us to be found faithful in all that we do. And direct me as I teach, Lord. Keep me from error. In Jesus' name I pray, Lord. Amen. Look here at this first spot. I call the first three verses here leave and receive, or if you will, the command of God, the call of God, however you want to put it, something of that effect. And we've looked at this passage, but it says, now the Lord had said to Abram, and note what it's saying there. It says he had said. So we're looking at something that's already taken place. You read over in the book of Acts and other places, it said that Abram was called out of Ur of the Chaldeans. And you look at this passage here, and he's actually living in Haran, which is past there. So he actually got the call when he was back in Ur. And then in the process of moving to Canaan, they stopped in Haran, and that's where his father has passed away, and he buried his father. And then what he's doing here is just continuing on in his journey. He's taking his journey further. So it says, get out of your country, from your kindred, and from your father's house to a land I will show you. You see the call on Abram here. It's to leave your land, your relatives, your father's house, to go to this other land. And that's the interesting thing about often when God directs us to walk by faith. He doesn't give Abram the end. He doesn't let him see the end. He says, go to a land that I will show you. So he doesn't have front side knowledge. And a lot of times in life, that's what we want. We want to know, okay, what's this going to look like? How's this going to work out? How do I fit into this? I need a little more details. And all God tells him is, you just need to go, Abram. You need to go. So he had a clear understanding of what God wanted to do. And what does he do? He does it. He gets up and he leaves. But look at the promise of God. He said, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and I will make your name great. And you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse him who curses you. And in all the families of the earth, and in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. There are two words used there for cursing. They're very similar in meaning, but what they literally mean is to block or to perform a barrier. Okay, that's the idea. And what God's saying here is when he says, I will bless those who bless you, Abraham, and curse those who curse you, what he's saying is those that treat you with disrespect, Abram, that don't treat you with courtesy, kindness, benevolence, however you want to put it, he says, I will make a barrier from them receiving blessings from God. That makes sense to you? That's what he means by it. A lot of times we hear this idea of curse and we think he's like putting a curse on him, but that's not it. It's that if you don't treat Abraham properly and you don't show courtesy and respect to Abraham, then I'm not going to show courtesy and respect to you. If you want to be in the line of being blessed, then you need to be blessing other people. That's a principle you're going to see carried out through Scripture. You're going to see it enumerated in the New Testament even, because it all ties back into the general plan of God, and that is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. You should seek to be a blessing to every person you're around. The Bible says, even to your enemies. The Bible says, bless those who persecute you and spitefully use you and speak evil of you. He says, bless them. And he says, go forward. He said, you're blessed. He said, live your life like that. Don't live your life with a vendetta. You don't have to even the score. All you have to really do is love God and love others, and God will work out the details of life, because he says, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. So you don't have to worry about it. A lot of people exhaust a lot of joy, a lot of energy, and expend a lot of frustration on trying to get vengeance. Yeah. And really all they do is they just destroy themselves in the process. And so Abram needs to understand that in his life. He says, right there at the end, in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. Now, how in the world are all the families in the earth going to be blessed through Abraham? Well, what we're going to see this morning, folks, is a sneak peek at what is really one of the major themes in the Bible. We started this theme back in Genesis 3:15, when God made the proclamation to the serpent. He said that the seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman are going to be opposed to each other. Okay? He says, you're going to bruise his heel, but he's going to crush your head. All right? And we're talking seed. What are we talking about there? We move over here and we see that all the families of the earth are going to be blessed through Abraham. How are all the families of the earth going to be blessed through Abraham? It's because of this. Abraham is going to become the father, and through Abraham, son, is going to come the nation of Israel. Okay, it's going to be 12 tribes. And those tribes are going to give rise to the lineage that the Messiah comes from. And Messiah is going to come from that line. And Messiah, what we studied last week, is going to go to a cross, is going to be crucified and buried and raised again. And all those that have faith in him are going to be blessed by God. Okay? That's how all the families are going to be blessed. So you got Abraham way out here in the Old Testament. He's getting this word from God that you're going to be a blessing to all the families of earth. And I can promise you, Abraham didn't look out this way and say, oh, 2019 at Fellowship of Huntsville, Brother C.F. Hazelwood is going to be blessed by me. He doesn't see that. All he sees is, I'm going to obey God. And somehow God is going to bring a blessing for me that's going to impact all the way down to here. What you're seeing in this is you're seeing what is commonly referred to as progressive revelation. The Bible progressively reveals itself. Out here, book of Genesis, chapter 3, verse 15, the seed of the serpent, the seed of the woman. And as you progress through, you're going to see that seed comes to the cross, is crucified, bears the sin of the world, and then all these on this side that are of that seed, singular, are going to be blessed. Understand the seed is this. Even back here, folks, it's not the nation of Israel physically. It's the nation of Israel spiritually. You understand? The remnant, God's thread, remnant. And as you trace the lineage through Jesus Christ, you will find everyone in that line is a person of faith is what they are, okay? So the seed is not of the flesh. The seed is of the Spirit, okay? And that's what's important to understand. And so you and I are offspring of Abraham, though I'm not a physical descendant. I'm not a Jew, but spiritually I am. Spiritually, I'm one of his children. I am a son of Abraham, okay? But I'm a son of Abraham not as the father of Israel, but I'm a son of Abraham as the father of faith. That's how it works, folks. So we are children of Abraham. And so Abraham gets this call, and because of him, all the families of the earth are going to be blessed. All right? Now, what you're going to see in this story of Abraham, Abraham is but a microcosm of the nation of Israel, and the nation of Israel is going to be a microcosm of the generation of Joshua, and the church is going to be a further expansion of what happened with Joshua. And let me explain this to you. Abram is told to go into the land of Canaan. It's the land of promise. It's the land of blessing. Later on down the road, Moses wrote this, and he wrote it for that second generation. The first generation that came up out of Egypt was supposed to go into the land of Canaan, and they chickened out. They got scared. 10 out of the 12 tribes said, "We can't do this," and they wouldn't go. And so God said, "Hit the wilderness, let's go." And they started running their laps for their chastisement, and he killed them off in the wilderness. And then he raises up that second generation. Moses gives them a clear description of what happens, and Joshua leads them back into that promised land. Then you get over in the New Testament to the church, and you know what? It's the same thing again. And you'll see it as the story develops, okay? So let's look at it here. Verse 4. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him. Stop right there. If you're a note taker, bracket that as the Lord had spoken. That is what faith is built on, folks. Faith, contrary to what a lot of people think, faith is not just hoping God's going to do something. Faith is not wishing God to do something and you saying, "I got faith that God's going to do this." Faith is acting on what God has spoken. Yeah. It's very important to understand that, because in our culture, in our generation, there's a lot of teaching that faith is like a power or a force. But faith is a response to the revealed word of God. That's critically important to understand that. Because if you don't understand that, you will forever be frustrated about trusting and believing in God. And a lot of people just, they throw stuff out there and say, "Well, you know, I'm just counting on God to come through." And I said, good luck with that. Because that's like throwing dice or something. It may be, it may not be. You better understand what the word of God says and what God has revealed. So that's what it says. Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him. So he's operating in faith. Now, he doesn't know the details. He doesn't know where he's going. He doesn't know what he's going to encounter. He doesn't know any of that. But he knows that God told him, get out of your land, get out of your families, get out of your father's house. So Abraham packs his trash, loads up his caravan, and they're gone. He said, "We're out of here." "Well, where are we going?" You can imagine all the people. "Where are we going?" "I don't know." "What kind of a deal is this?" "I don't know." "Well, when are we going to get there?" "I don't know." "Just walk. Let's go. Let's move." That's what he's doing. He's moving in faith. He knows where the land of Canaan is. But folks, that's a mass. That's a huge country. A huge amount of country. And that's where they're headed. So it says, Abraham departed as the Lord had told him. And Lot, so here's dysfunctional Lot, went with him. We're going to discover that later, right? I mean, look at this ragtag crew. You got a 75-year-old man with a barren wife and a dysfunctional nephew. It'd make a good sitcom or TV show to watch. Because we're going to see it develop later in the story that Lot is a train wreck. I mean, this guy, he's with Father Abraham. And the guy still can't help but twist off every time he's left to make a decision on his own. He spins off and goes the other direction. You're like, what is wrong with Lot? Everyone's had a Lot in their life at some time or another, haven't you? Yeah, you may be Lot. Okay? But there's hope even for Lot. Because what does the Bible tell us? Lot was a righteous man. Lot was a righteous man. He's a believer. So believers can be like that. You understand? So Abram leaves. Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old. By the time he parted Haran, and Abram took Sarah, his wife. See, that's the tension that's built into the text. God speaks and tells him to go, and you got Lot, who has problems, okay? Israel knew that. They'd heard the stories of Lot before, passed down oral tradition. They knew what was going on. So you got Lot, Abram 75, and his wife is barren. That is a lot to throw into one little passage there. There's a lot of tension there. There's a lot of questions going on. Because how settled would you be at that age with all your possessions and your land and all this other stuff? I'm comfortable. I feel good where I am. Get up. Let's go. We're moving to this place here. Follow the text. Then Abram took Sarah, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the people whom they had acquired in Haran, and they departed to go to the land of Canaan. And so they came to the land of Canaan. Let's deal with that first. They departed to go to Canaan, and so they came to Canaan. The Bible covers a lot of territory right there with one little gap. You see that? They depart, they're there. Quick. It doesn't go into any detail. But it took a while to move that mass of people over into that area. But look at what it said. He gathers his possessions, and they gathered the people around them. Note the word that is used there for people is not the word slaves, and it's not the word helpers or hired people. Some theologians think that what these are were some of the first possible converts of Abram. That Abram had a call from God, and he had already began to proclaim about God and speak about God. Because there's a word they could have used for slaves or for helpers or something like that. But Abram's already building, if you will, a nation of believers. He's already influencing and affecting people around him. And so he acquired those people in Haran, and that's post the call that he got. And so they depart for the land of Canaan, and they came to Canaan. Then look at the next verse. And Abram, well, this section here, let me back up if you're outlining, verse 4 through 9 is called faith and obedience. So if you are outlining, I apologize for that. Look at verse 6. Abram passed through the land to the place of Shechem, as far as the terebinth tree of Moreh, and the Canaanites were then in the land. Now let's deal with this terebinth tree. What is a terebinth tree? Literally, it's a nut tree is what it is. Most commonly, it could be translated oak. Some places, they speak of it as being a pistachio tree, okay? Terebinth trees were viewed as good or bad in the Bible. There are times that people met under them in fellowship, but when it says the terebinth tree of Moreh, the word Moreh means teacher, and the terebinth tree has a connotation of idol worship. Okay? What this text is telling us is Abraham's packing up and he's moving into this land and it's loaded with pagans. It's a pagan land. It's not a land of believers. Okay? Not a land of people that call on the name of the Lord. Okay? It's a land that is saturated with idol worshipers, and you're going to see that. It's going to surface. But then here's another thing. Look at the last part of that verse. And the Canaanites were in the land. Now, I've told you before that if this sermon was set to music, this is where the deep organ play would begin. It'd be bom, 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 bom. And you would know something bad's happening here. Now, I don't have Billy's over there. We don't have an organ. But if he was up here and he was playing the background music, boom, 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 boom. And I would say, and the Canaanites were in the land. Did you get the cue? Ooh, that's bad. So I'm going to just tell you, Canaanites in the land is not a good thing. You know why? They're cursed of God. The Canaanites have been cursed by God. They're going to be the adversaries of Israel for the rest of the Bible. They're going to pursue Israel. They are wicked, they are depraved, and this is exactly where Abram's going. He's packing his family up, leaving a safe homeland, and he's moving into an area with saturated with pagan worshipers and enemies. You think about that. What's going to happen when Israel gets the word from Moses? Moses is going to tell them, let's go into the promised land. And they go, okay, time out, Mo, let me ask you a question. If we go into the promised land, can we send spies in there first? And he says, yeah. And so he sends in 12 spies. The spies come back, 10 of them, representing 10 of the tribes of Israel, say, hey, not any good. There's giants in the land. There's danger over there. We're not going to do it. Joshua and Caleb, we can go. God's with us. God said he would defeat our enemies. And that's exactly what God said. He said, you walk by faith. And he said, I'm going to bless those that bless you. I'm going to curse those that curse you. Your enemies will fall into your hands. You will conquer. You will control. I want them wiped out. I want you to do this. They don't do it. You see the progression? Abraham faces this. Moses writes this book, and he gives that book to the children of Israel, and they can read. Well, you know, this whole thing with enemies in the land, it started with Abraham. And Abraham was blessed of God when he obeyed. Maybe if we obey, we'll be blessed of God. You see that? But they had a double whammy. And you know what it is? Abram had enemies in the land and was blessed of God. Our forefathers had enemies in the land, and they balked, and God chastened them. Maybe we ought to go the pathway of Abraham and not our forefathers. Well, what about us? Abram had enemies in the land, and he was blessed of God when he went. That first generation had enemies in the land, and they balked, and they suffered for it. Then this third group goes in the land, and they don't completely get it done, and they suffer. And we're over here in the church, and God's telling us to walk by faith. And you know what? We got all those examples in front of us, and we'll sit here and laugh about Abraham and about the children of Israel not having faith. See, Canaan, folks, is not heaven. Canaan is the Christian life. And the Christian life is full of challenges. It's full of problems. It's full of trials. Heaven has no conflict. Heaven is where you live in worship of God. And every enemy is defeated, every foe is vanquished. And so when you talk about biblical typology, meaning a type is something that's portrayed here as a real life event, but it's also a type of something that is yet to come. Example, Noah, get in the ark. The Lord shuts the door. Who survived the flood? Only those that were in the ark. The ark is a type of Christ. Who will survive the judgment of God? Only those that are in Christ. You follow me? That's called typology. Abram goes into the promised land, and when he goes into the promised land, there's Canaanites, and there's pagans in the land. And what does God want Abram to do? Walk by faith. First generation children of Israel, same thing. Second generation children of Israel, same thing. And so the Christian life, folks, is Canaan. That's what the Christian life is. You got your call back in Ur of the Chaldees, and God said, get out of there, get away from your past, and come, I'm going to show you a land, and I'm going to bless you. But you're going to have to believe me. And yet many people come into the Christian life, And a lot of it is this, because people are told, you come to Jesus, and brother, your problems are solved. Let me rephrase that. You come to Jesus, and your problems have just begun. I'm telling you, folks. Your eternal destiny is solved, but as far as tests and trials of life, that door to trials and testing is just open. And God wants us to live and to walk by faith. People say, well, why would God do this? God could have sent Abraham in a land that had no terebinth trees and no Canaanites. But he chose to send him in that land because he wants Abraham to believe him. He doesn't want robots. He could set up a perfect robotic situation if he wanted to, but that's not his desire. He loves you and he loves me as his children, but he wants his children to love him too. He wants his children to trust me. You know how I know it? He says, if you love me, obey me. See, you don't express love to God by saying, God, I love you. You express love to God by obeying. And if God's to judge your love and my love for him through our obedience, let me ask the next question. How much do we love God? That's the real issue, folks. That's where the rubber meets the road. That's the issue of life. I know God loves me, and I know God is faithful. And my testimony when I get to heaven will be not how faithful I was and not how much I love God, but how faithful God was and how much God loved me. Because, folks, I'm just like these folks in this book. I balk at the enemy sometimes. Who's the Canaanite in your life? Okay? I mean, people say, well, you don't understand, Brother Seth. Where I work, it's just full of pagans. They're just unbelievers all around me. And then people always, man, they're looking down on me and talking bad about me. I say, yeah, those are called Canaanites. And those pagans are the terebinth trees. You see how life is, folks? That's the reality of life. There is no place this side of heaven where you don't have that. We will forever in this life be confronted with trial. You know why? Because that is the way of man. You will toil and till the ground by the sweat of your brow. There's consequences for the sin of mankind. And the trials and tribulations of this life are there. But praise be to God, he's given us the ability to get through it. He says, you walk by faith and you'll go through that. You'll have joy unspeakable. You will walk with me and I will be with you and all this. And God's showing Israel. He told Abram, he said, Abram, I will make your name great. Now, you think that rang a bell? Look back at chapter 11 for a second. Look back at chapter 11, and I want you to look at verse 4. And it says, and this is at the Tower of Babel. It says, and they said, come, let us build ourselves a city, a tower whose top is in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. One chapter later, you read this. I will make you a great nation, Abram. I will bless you and make your name great. You see the contrast? One group is self-willed. They're going to make a name for themselves. And what does God do? He scatters them. He confuses them. Chaos. The case of Abram, God says, you do what I say to do, and I'm going to make you a nation, and I'm going to make your name great. You see the contrast there? When God is in something versus when we're in something. Big difference. And so this whole thing folds out, and Abram is there, and God says, go into the land. And as Abram's walking in this land, you know what he's seeing? He's seeing a land full of pagans, people that don't know God, that hate God. And then he sees the Canaanites, the arch enemies of the people of God. And what does Abram do? Does he turn around and go back to Haran? Does he cry to God and say, God, come on, man. Where was God in all this, man? How could God let something like this happen? We leave a perfectly good place. I come over here to Canaan, and look at this. Pagans, troublemakers, problems. How could God do something like that? How could God allow something like that? Abram doesn't do that. What does Abram do? Well, let's take a look. Verse 7. Then Abraham obeys. Don't forget that. Then the Lord appeared to Abram. I would rather he appeared before I went, but he appears after he obeys. You know what that is, folks? That is, when God calls you to the life of faith, a lot of times it's just, hey, I'm trusting God for this because this is exactly what God wants. And what does he do? He affirms it. He confirms it. He drives home that stake. But we want that assurance beforehand. You rarely get that, folks. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your descendants, I will give this land. And look at his response. He didn't say, God, how could you let this happen, man? I see some Canaanites over there. There are terebinth trees here. Oh, Lord, Lord, why do you let something like this happen in my life? What does he do? What's he do? He built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. See? What did he do? God, I believe you. I don't see it. I don't understand it. But Lord, you told me that you're going to make my name great. You told me I'm going to be a blessing to all these people. You told me I'm going to have a great nation. You told me all this. I don't see any of it. But I'm going to build this altar, sacrifice you, and worship you. Why? Because you're worthy. He's not worshiping God because he got all that stuff. He's worshiping God because of who God is, folks. See, that's where I got a big problem with a lot of the prosperity movement today. It's joyfulness and gratitude for what God gave you versus who God is. There's a big difference, folks. Abram's sacks are empty. He doesn't have anything other than what he drug with him. And it's getting all raggedy and stuff like that, having to tote it across all that countryside. And you can imagine poor old Sarah. Abram, we pulled up from a perfectly good house. We drug all this stuff here. We got all these people with us and animals and all this other stuff. And you're going to have a great name and a great nation, and we're out here in a tent in the middle of nowhere. Abram says, worship God. Build an altar. Worship God. And that's what he does. He worships God. And then look at this. Verse 8. And he moved from there to the mountains east of Bethel. And he pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord. He built another altar. And look at this. And he called on the name of the Lord. You know what he's doing here? He's proclaiming God's name in a pagan land. You know what he's doing? He's staking his claim. God says this is going to be his land. Praise be to Yahweh. And when it says that he proclaimed the name of God, it means he proclaimed the character of God. You know what he's doing? He's praising out loud. He's shouting out loud or preaching out loud. My God is good. My God is merciful. My God is gracious. My God is faithful. He's proclaiming the character of God. He's telling people what the true and living God is all about. And Abram has got nothing at this point. But yet what is he doing? He's worshiping God. You know what that tells us, folks? You worship God because of who God is. Not because of what God does. God's worthy whether he does anything at all. You know, God, if you get me out of this, I promise I'm going to get faithful. I've heard people say that. I asked a guy one time, I said, you started attending church? He said, yeah. He said, I got sick with that pneumonia. And he said, when I got that pneumonia, he said, I told the Lord, if you heal me of this, I ain't going to miss church. It lasted about 6 months. People get these little spiritual rashes. They heal up. It'll heal up. Trust me. I saw it after 9-1-1. Remember that? The Sunday after 9-1-1, you couldn't fit a person in this church. There was people coming up to me, preacher, you need to be having prayer meetings every day. What are you doing? Who are you? Where have you been all my life, man? You haven't been assisting me in ministry up until now. What's going on? We want these doors open every day. We want people in here praying. I said, well, why don't you lead it, brother? Well, I ain't got time for that right now, but we need to be doing that. 4 weeks later, you couldn't find that dude with a search warrant. I promise you. That's how people are. People get real spiritual when a family member's sick, they run into financial problems, or some kind of disaster hits their life, but the rest of the time, I can make it without God. Folks, worshiping God is every day. It's that my life is God. My job, all this other stuff is the details of life. If I mess up on that number one, the rest of that nonsense is meaningless. See, God is either going to make my name great or I'm going to do it, and when I do it, I'm going to be confused and scattered. You understand? It's not going to work. And so Abram, he builds an altar to God. He worships God. Why? Because of who God is. God is worthy to be worshiped, and the rest of that stuff's going to come later. But look what it says over in Hebrews. Look at how this thing plays out in the book of Hebrews, if you really want to see it. It's really amazing over there. Look at Hebrews chapter 11 and look at verse 8. Hebrews 11:8. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out of the place which he would afterwards receive as an inheritance. And he went out, look at this, not knowing where he was going. He's just obeying God. And I don't know how this is going to work out, but I know this is what God wants me to do. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, look at this, as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. Why would Abram do all that? Verse 10, for he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Folks, he wasn't looking at some earthly kingdom. He wasn't looking at some earthly home. He wasn't looking at earthly possessions. You know what he was doing? He was looking at the land of Canaan. He was looking right through Canaan into the throne room of God. And he saw heavens and an eternity with the living God. That's what he saw. That's what the faith life is. The faith life is, the trials and tribulations of this life are but terebinth trees and Canaanites. I can challenge them. You know why? Because I got a home right out there. Now I can see it. I can see it with the eyes of faith. And when I see that with the eyes of faith, anything in the pathway isn't an obstacle. You understand? That's how you live a life of victory. You don't focus on this life here. You focus on, am I obeying God? Am I following God? Because I'm going to live with God forever. And when that day is over, and I report to God, and I say, God, I'm reporting. My time is over. How'd I do? Folks, that's what's important. How did I do? Were you a person of faith? Or were you just up and down, here and now? That I'm going to make my name great and I'll attach God to it every once in a while. Or I'm going to proclaim the name of God and God will make my name great. Big difference between those two. But you see, Abraham is the father of faith. You know why? He steps out and he moves on and he believes God. And the scripture's going to tell us later in that path, it's counted to him for righteousness. He becomes the father of a great nation. But you look at Abraham, we're going to see his life, folks. He's a rough old codger, man, I'm telling you. He's up and down and stuff like this. But you know what? He's looking at that home whose builder and founder is not of this earth. He's got an eternal focus in life. And when you have an eternal focus in life, you're going to fail, you're going to fall, you're going to flub, stumble, everything else. You know why? Because you're human and I'm human. But by golly, we're going to get up and we're going to keep going. And we're going to keep pursuing that. And we're going to fix whatever's messed up along the way. And we're going to keep going. That's what we are, folks. We're not there yet. We're fighting Canaanites. And we're in a land of pagans. And God's called us. Proclaim the name of God. Make his name great. Because when you make his name great and you exalt him, you know what's going to happen? He said, and I will lift you up. Right? What he says. That's how it works. Let's pray.